on page number 359, and we began looking at this, and just before turning the class over to Brother John for the summer to teach on soul winning, and so if you were planning for that, I'm sorry for that, but like I said, I tried to preempt that a little bit last night and sent out a text just so y'all, or an email so y'all would kind of be prepared for this morning, but we're looking at the role of women in the Bible in this study, so whenever I get to fill in, this is what we're going to cover, otherwise Brother John, he'll continue to preach and teach through salvation, and I don't want to take anything from him on that. He's doing a great job. So the role of women, there really is a lot in the Bible concerning women, and a lot of times we don't maybe focus there as much as we should, and so this is a great section to kind of highlight some of those areas. We'll start over there in John 4, and that 359D, women were honored by the Lord Jesus Christ, and truly, Christ was very gracious to women as he walked the earth, very kind, and surrounded himself with different ones that were a great help to him in the ministry. And so that's just really, really a good example for us to be also with those around us. The huge, huge part, I was just talking to Amy last night a little bit about the ranch, and there's a number of women down there that are on staff there that run different parts and all that. They do a really good job. The ranch down there is run very, very, very well as far as just everything kind of clicks right along real well and all that. But they are able, they're single, many of them are, and they're able to go there and be used in a great way to run those respective areas. They do a great job with that. And so there's a lot of places to be used in the ministry for women. And it's good that our women don't feel like they can't do anything. Amen. And we definitely don't want that to be the case. We know that women have a great ministry, and not just in those things. I mean, in articulating the truths of the scripture and ministering, especially in the children ministry, there's huge, huge opportunities there. The whole hand that rocks the cradle rules the world mentality, that is so true. And if you have the early years with children, it really is formative. And a lot of great preachers that have been raised up testify of those early years with their mom and grandma and different things, moms and grandmas and things of that sort. So it's just a blessing. So there is great opportunity across the board. But anyway, in John 4, it's highlighted here as verses 7 through 26. I think just maybe we'll go ahead and read some of these verses and kind of pick that up. Anybody want to read for us this morning? Ryan, go ahead and just start reading down through there, and maybe we'll go through the whole thing. We'll see. Verse number 7.
There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw.
Pause right there. Do you just kind of get the idea? I mean, Jesus is engaged with this woman, and actually, I mean, having a very, very in-depth conversation about spiritual things. And I know there's a lot of guys that would pull away from that, recoil from that, and not want to have that level of conversation. And I get it. We live in a very sexualized day. And I think guys need to be very, very careful with private interactions with women. Right? I think you have to be very careful. But and whether it's on the internet, those are private conversations. Right? Or somewhere else where physically private, all that. I think we want to be very careful with that. In this case, this is a private conversation. No one else is around. That's what that means, private. No one else is around. So it's not that we won't engage in those. It's that we're careful. Does that make sense? And we want to just be careful and make it a habit that we're careful in those areas. And that, number one, we don't make provision for the flesh, for the lust thereof. But then we also don't create an opportunity for the adversary to speak reproachfully, right? And so both of those are true. And we just want to be very careful there. But at the same time, opportunity arose, and the Lord Jesus Christ took that opportunity. By the way, one of the best protections, remember the armor of God talks about the feet, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What that means is that when you're talking to others, you're keeping the gospel in the forefront. And if you'll do that, then that's a protection for you, right? If you're talking to others, say, what were you talking about? We were talking about the Lord. Yeah, right. No, really, we were talking about the Lord. That's a great thing. Amen? And very, 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 very good. Now, I know working for Rob and all that, at times, you're in houses and different things, ladies, all that. Micah being with me has been excellent. And we were at a house not too long ago out towards Brownsburg. We had a conversation with a lady. Her kids were actually there about homeschool and church and everything else. It was great. But again, and we talked about some spiritual things. But as guys, we want to be careful that we don't consider a lady not at the level we're at, not able to speak on those things. Amen. Because they are. And they should be able to, right? And so, again, we just, good example here of the Lord. He's taking the time. It is a private conversation. It is out in public, but it is private. No one else is there. And going through and actually in-depth working through, asking questions, she's responding, and he's given spiritual truth. And this is a really, really, really good example. We're going to keep reading on. Any questions at this point about what we're seeing? Any comments? No? No? I thought you were like, nah, I want to, but... No? No? Okay. All right, let's kick back up. Anybody from verse 15 on want to read? John C.
Yes. We did read 15, didn't we?
Oh, you're right, 16.
Okay. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, or saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he.
Amen. I'm going to pause there. So, again, amazing conversation. And by the way, the Lord is very comfortable with this conversation. I think the challenge is that we need to be comfortable in conversation. I don't see the Lord as flirtatious there. He's not improper here, but he's comfortable. Does that make sense? I think sometimes we get so weird about things. I mean, the day we live, there's a lot of people that are afraid to even talk to a child. Right? Afraid to talk to a child, and they run from that, right? A lot of guys, afraid to talk to women. Maybe some guys are afraid to talk to other guys, right? There's a lot of women that are afraid to talk to guys. This woman wasn't afraid to talk to Jesus. Interesting. There's a lot of kids. They can't talk to adults. Not good. By the way, what good thing does a six-year-old learn from another six-year-old? Nothing. Amen? Kids don't need to learn how to relate to other kids. They already have that down. But they need to be able to talk to adults at the earliest of age. Otherwise, they're going to be raised up and they will have hardly any conversation with adults because there's so many kids that tune out and can't hold a conversation with an adult. Or if they do, they try to manipulate and all that or move it. And they need to learn how to communicate, right? So we need people. If we can't communicate, we can't do our job as a Christian. Amen? And by the way, in this day, one of the hard things I have in talking to people, when I try to talk to someone that doesn't speak really good English, it's very frustrating, right? And personally, my instant thought is, I don't want to mess with this, right? And so I need to, though, engage and try to cross those barriers best as possible. Because communication for the Christian is everything, amen? But keep it right. Keep it on the right level. Keep the right distances, right? Keep the right body posture. Just be careful. Be friendly. Don't be afraid. Be friendly. Keep it right, but engage. Make questions? Yes, JC.
Going out soul winning is very interesting because especially in these days where things have changed a lot. And we've had several experiences lately where women are very intimidated. They are afraid to open the door, come to the door, anything when they see two men or even a man and a boy.
Yeah.
And so it is kind of tricky. And the other day it was interesting. Josiah and I were out visiting, and we were talking to this lady, and I happened to mention something that hit a chord with her, and she wasn't going to talk to us anymore, but she stopped, and she said, "It's very strange that you mentioned this, because I just went through this." Oh. And so we did have a chance to talk to her a little further, but as far as salvation, she really she didn't understand salvation correctly. And so I knew she was nervous, and I said to her, "Look, I'd like to explain this a little bit more to you than you will." And I said, "No, I won't come in," and because she was standing there with the door open just a little bit.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I ended up saying to her, "Look, would you like me to, I could bring a lady back with me, or I could have my daughter-in-law come, or a couple ladies that could talk to you tonight?" Well, she's nervous about that, you know. But what's interesting is what happened next. There was a fellow walking by with his dog, and he was not quite my age. Anyway, he turned around and walked up into the yard and came up to the front door there with us and was checking just to see who we were and what we wanted and all that. And he said, "Well, I just checked because this used to be my mother's house, you know, and I sold it to this lady." Mm-hmm. And I just said, "Well, that's great. I appreciate that." And told him who we were, where we were from, and like that. But yeah, you have to be careful. People are so nervous.
Yeah.
When we go out soul winning, I don't even like to sit in the car for a minute in front of a house before we get out and go up to the door, because people are paranoid as all get out nowadays.
Yeah.
And anyway, but that brings up a good point, and that is that we desperately need ladies that can go out and follow up on some of the visits and talk to these ladies that have questions, but they're nervous. They're too nervous to talk to a man, you know?
Yeah.
And so
again, recognizing those things, but doing our part the best we can to communicate. But there's a lot of things going on. I mean, and in so many realms that the last thing we want to be is hushed up. One of the things from COVID, it caused too, even more angst, people to people being close and all that. And so there's all these barriers that we have to work through. We don't need to create our own, but we do need to keep things right. Now, the next thing that happens in this text, which we're not going to go ahead and read the rest, but the woman will go back and she actually talks to the men of the city. And I don't know her background. I don't know and all that. It seems like she was a little bit maybe she had multiple husbands, different things. I'm not really sure. But nonetheless, we find that she went back and she spread the gospel. She preached the gospel. And then they would come and they would hear from Christ even more perfectly. And so just interesting thing there. But in our number one on our sheet, it says Jesus took the time to deal with a woman of Samaria about her soul's salvation. And I think stressing there, he took the time to deal with those things. And he talked with her, not as if she was someone lesser than she was, but someone as if she was important. She was her soul was important to God, just as important as anybody else would be. And so, very interesting. Matter of fact, the disciples come back, and that would be next in our text, and they have issue with what he was doing. What? You're talking to a woman of Samaria? What are you doing? Right? But again, he kept it right. He kept it right. The mannerisms were right. How he approached, the content was right. And he wasn't afraid because he knew he was doing his business, God's the business of the Father. And so he was willing to put himself out there for that. Number two, women were included in the great. Well, I had multitude there, right?
Multitude.
Yeah, because where he was feeding the multitudes, and it mentioned the men and the women and all that. So we're included there. So that's interesting. We're not going to turn to that one. But number three, the Lord Jesus responded to the great faith of the Canaanite woman, right? Let's look at this one. Matthew 15.
Well, I was honed in on issues that the women, each woman had.
Right. So, yeah.
That's, they have great faith.
And he did. He entered into those things and tried to help them with that, right? And so let's look at Matthew 15 and on this particular one. And again, noting the great faith of this woman and the importance that it would take in reference to this. Matthew 15, let's go ahead and read as it says there, 21 through 28. Anybody want to read? Nancy?
Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour.
Yeah, the reason he didn't talk there wasn't because of her gender, but because that she was a Gentile, not a Jew. And he was focused there on ministering unto the Jews at that point. And what I find very interesting there is how she stuck with it, right? That great faith came because anybody you could see could have been very offended by the responses there. But because she believed, she stuck with it. And that is a great principle for us in life, even in John 6, where Jesus mentioned some things that were hard to be understood. Many left the Lord in those days and stopped following him. And then he turned to the apostles, the disciples and the apostles that were close to him. And he said, Will thou also go away? And he said, How can we? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And so the level of faith in this woman, she understood that he was Messiah, that he was Christ, and that he could heal her daughter. And so the need demanded that she not be offended. The need demanded that she wouldn't go to another. There wasn't anyone else to go to. So she stuck with it. And of course, we find that he then, based on that great faith, then even healed her daughter. Remember, that's the prayer of faith that will heal the sick. And sometimes that just means that we just need to stick with it, stay after it. In this day of offense, everybody gets offended, right? And boy, if you get offended because your food takes too long at the drive-thru, you're in trouble, because nowadays, amen, everything's taking longer at every fast food, quote-unquote fast food place, amen, that's no longer fast food. And so I think I was 15 minutes in a McDonald's yesterday just to get me a nice ice-cold coffee, amen, at McDonald's, and it was just crazy. And it, for no reason more than, finally, I was like, looking for my, you know, order, and it was just sitting back there. It had been no doubt ready for a while, but the guy at the counter, he had better things to do. He was probably thinking about, you know, something else, and there was no one at the counter. He didn't have another job. It's just, you know, slipped his mind. But nonetheless, that's just the day we live, amen? And so it's easy. You can get offended easy on everything that people say and do and all that, but this woman, what a great example for a woman not to get offended when something is said by a man, that doesn't sound right off at the onset. You know, oh, you're just going to treat me. I mean, she could have very easily said, oh, you're just going to treat me that way because I'm a woman. Oh, you're going to treat me that way because I'm not the same, you know, from the same area as you, same race, if you will. Oh, you're just going to treat me that way because of race. This would be a great text to preach on just for that. Oh, you're just going to treat me that way because whatever. She didn't do that. She didn't get offended. She didn't take that personal. And it testified of her faith. And so here's a woman who had great faith. She stuck with it, didn't get offended. And in the end, what happened? Her daughter was healed. So any thoughts, questions on that? That's a great, great example. Amen. Amen. Anybody here said she should have done stop talking to him a long time ago? He was treating her bad. Anybody like that? Anybody want to say that, but no, you shouldn't? I'm sure people are saying, man, I wouldn't let him talk to me like that. It's a very proud day we live, isn't it? It is. We really think a lot of ourselves. But she understood who he was. And she gave him some room. Oh, that we could just give each other a little room. Amen? Because the reason he said what he said wasn't because of her, necessarily. It was because of the mission he was on, right? He went to seek those of the house of Israel first. It was the mission. He was just staying focused on the mission. Had nothing to do with her personally. But boy, do we take things personal, don't we? It's a challenge. Challenge. Don't take things personal. Probably one of the things I say the most to people, don't take it personal. Yeah, but this is going on. That's fine. This person did this to me. That's fine. Don't take it personal. You don't know all the details. So don't take it personal. She didn't take it personal. She had great faith. In the end, what happened? Her daughter was healed. Praise the Lord for that. Awesome example. Jesus, number four there, commended Mary, who sat at his feet to hear his word. Yeah, Jessica, do you have that verse up there by chance? Luke 10, 39? Amen.
And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word.
Yeah, and so we know Mary, Martha, and all the different things there, but Mary hath chosen that better part, the Bible says, right? Martha was cumbered about with much serving. That doesn't mean that serving is wrong. It's just there's a time for it. You don't want to be cumbered about with it. We don't want those things to become cumbersome, right? And a lot of women are very industrious and are prone to that, where the task becomes the main thing. I'm not saying we shouldn't get tasks done, but we want to make sure that we don't miss out on the better part because we're cumbered about with certain things, right? We have to be able to set those things aside. Guys can do that a little bit better because we can compartmentalize a little bit better. But women have maybe a little bit more of a challenge there at times, probably not all, but some. And you just need to make sure that you're spending time, as Mary did, at the feet of Jesus, studying, learning, hearing his word. I don't know about you, but it seems like more and more things need done all the time. This week was a very busy week for me. And yesterday I was about overwhelmed yesterday, amen. But it's okay. I get that way, I'm sure you do. But we want to make sure we don't become encumbered by that service, right? And that we miss out on those around us or what God has us doing. And when it's time to take a break and just spend some time in the word, we need to do that. Amen. And hopefully you're spending time like Mary with that better part. Amen. I appreciate a lot of the ladies that I know from our church spend a lot of time in the word, and they don't just rely on what they learned years ago as, oh, that's all I need. No, I've been studying the word now for quite a while, and I need fresh oil every day and every week. Amen. That's what it takes. And what you learned before needs proved again, because as we remember it, it's always a little bit skewed, and we need that word of God to keep us straight, proving all things, hold fast to that which is good, prove it again. How do we prove it? Just by simply reading oftentimes, Just reading the scriptures proves things. So ladies need to take that time. All of us do. But in this case, an example of Mary here was that she was willing to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear his word. Amen. Make sure you're taking that time to hear his word. And he commended her for that. Number five, Jesus acknowledged the costly sacrifice by women. And this is good as well. We're just going to look at that Luke passage as well. We're going to do verses 36 through 38 and then verse 50, because that picks up something very important there. Everybody want to read verses Luke 7, 36 through 38 and 50. You want to get it? Okay.
One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment.
Verse 50.
And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace.
Another very, very interesting passage. This is a public setting in a sense. It was in a house, but there was many people there, public setting. And you have a woman coming in that was definitely overcome with emotion, understanding her sinfulness. He notes that the passage actually noted that she was a sinner. That's what her issue was. No doubt it was based on her feeling of guilt, feeling dirty, feeling the shame that comes along with that. And she sought really to be made whole from the Lord. And she did what she knew she could. And she was weeping and anointed the feet there and all that. And you might say, man, that's not right. I get it. In our day, looking at that, that would be kind of strange. Amen. But in that day, foot washing was a normal thing. The shoes were different then. The conditions were different then. All that washing someone's feet was a normal thing. So in some of that aspect, just would it be normal for a woman to be weeping there and anointing feet? Probably not. But she was overcome. It was obvious that it wasn't for any other reason than what it is stated of in the scriptures. By the way, the Pharisees had huge issue with it. But the Lord noted, he understood what was really going on. I think in our day, we need to be very careful that we don't prejudge everything we see. We jump to conclusions all the time, and all we know is a little bit. And all of a sudden now we're the expert. And we make wrong assumptions all the time, you know. And I think we need to be very careful. And this is a great example of this. The Pharisees who knew what was right, just ask them. Right? They said, that is wrong. But it wasn't. The Lord didn't rebuke it. And he noted the heart of that woman. And in a sense, if we read verse number 50, it says that thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Get this. Every self-righteous person in that room got it wrong. Everyone. And by the way, the Pharisees knew a whole lot more Bible than we do. Hello? Amen? But they didn't see the people. They used the word to prop themselves up. That's the problem. It was all about them. They didn't mind throwing people under the camel, amen. They didn't mind. They didn't mind hurting people because it was all about them. And that's the problem. And Jesus saw this woman for who she was, a woman in desperate need, and he cared about her. Oh, that we could just pick up a little bit there and start to care about people again. Not justifying their sin, not acting like nothing matters. It does matter. That woman had a need. Jesus recognized it, And she came in a way weeping and pouring out this tremendous costly ointment and using it to anoint. She gave what she had. And the Lord recognized that and said, it's based on her faith. And he said, your faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Tremendous, tremendous. Any thoughts on that one? Jessica.
I know as a Christian that's trying to do right for the Lord and study more with the Lord, and you know more and you know more what's right and wrong, and when you see sinners that are doing things that are wrong and stuff, we tend to already have this judgment towards them in our heads, like, you know, we'd never do that. I think sometimes we got to be more loving and understanding that, you know, they're not saved, and that we need to, you know, have a more of a heart and not judgmental towards them, because if we turn them off when we have, like, you know,
I think it's self-righteousness, because we don't want to make them think that they're okay in their sin. It's a challenge. At the same time, they need to understand that we love them and care for them. And that is a challenge right there. Amen? And by the way, if you turn that person off to you, you'll never reach them. And at some point, relationships have to be more important than our self-righteousness. Amen? That's the challenge. Could any of these Pharisees have been a help to that lady that day? No. They could have, but they chose not to be, right? Because of how they saw her. Isn't that interesting? Interesting stuff. These ladies can teach us a few things, amen, and the Lord's interaction with them. Amen? Number six, Jesus defined women by exalting marriage and restricting divorce. Now, this is a very interesting one, which I want to look at. And based on culture, we might not get it right away, but I think we will before this is before we're done with this point. Look at Matthew 5. Matthew 5. And let's just read 31 and 32. Who wants to read Matthew 5, 31, 32? Yep, Nancy.
It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, caused her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery.
Right, there's a lot there in that text. But I really want to focus on what this is actually referring to is the fact that a writing of divorcement was a merciful thing. Because what happened was, in that day, that a marriage contract, in a sense, right? A marriage contract, man and woman, that woman, the man could actually kind of set that woman aside, not give her a bill of divorce, and now she's stuck. Women in our day have no problem going out, getting a job, getting an education, making a living for themselves, right? In this day, it was not the case. There was not much that a woman could do. By the way, that's why a lot turned to harlotry, because there just wasn't much that a woman could do on that end. They could be a maidservant. They could do some servant type stuff, but it was very, very limited. And so for a woman to be married, in a sense, that was her livelihood. That's how she was cared for. Her husband cared for her. She was a keeper of the home. She kept the home. And that's how she lived. But if her husband set her aside without a bill of divorcement, she couldn't remarry. She couldn't do anything along those lines. So it was a very, very cruel thing. Understanding authority structure in that day, and really even in our day, a woman, symbolically, when there's a marriage, a woman is given away by her father, which typically say her father and mother, you know, give this one away. And that is in the sense of an authority structure, whereas the son of a home, he doesn't have that same thing. He's able to go out without that. But the daughters, there's an authority there that's recognized by God. And so it's the parents that actually give her away. By the way, it's not the siblings, it's the parents. It's the parents that decide that. And they give her away. And once she's given away, then that a transfer takes place. Takes place to a man, right? That's what a marriage is. It's a man and a woman. It's not anything other. Amen? They have to say that nowadays. Anyway, once that happens, now that authority structure is transferred to that woman. So, to that man. And so that has to happen. But when a man then doesn't properly take care of his responsibility and sets her aside, even kicks her out without a bill of divorcement, if he kicked her out without that bill, now she's on her own without any authority, she's in a really bad spot. And especially in the culture we're looking at here in biblical times. Now she's totally illegitimate to do anything. And so that bill of divorcement was a merciful thing. For any guy to leave his wife and not divorce her, he's pathetic. Amen? Because he locks her in a place that she can really do nothing. And it's a really sad thing. So the bill of divorcement, as this was given here, Jesus defined dignified women by exalting marriage and restricting divorce. So the bill of divorcement's needed, but the bill of divorcement shouldn't just be given out. He has an obligation. And so there was specific things like here, fornication. That would be she went out and engaged in a relationship outside marriage. Okay, now he can give her that writ of divorcement. There's some other passages that talk about uncleanness and all that. Deuteronomy 24 is big in this area. And so Jesus is saying that man should take care of his wife, but if she's done some things that would not enable that, he can't just kick her out. He needs to give her a bill of divorcement so that then she's able now to function once again in society and potentially even be remarried, although if she does, there's ramifications on that end as well. And then there is one passage that talks about later on New Testament as well, 1 Corinthians, that she, in reference to giving a bill of divorcement. So things kind of morphed a little bit to where then later on the woman was absolutely able to break that as well. Earlier on that wasn't the case. Later it was where the woman could actually write that bill of divorcement as well and break. Both of that is defined in the scripture, but it's a proper thing. It's doing things right. It's best, as the next passage said, we're not going to look at it. And Mark says, let not man put asunder. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. But then it goes on to say, if these things happen and it is put asunder, do it right. Do it right for the sake of the individual. Amen. And that again, everything we see Jesus do always keeps the person in mind. That's the point. Whether it's a woman, whether it's a man, no matter what's happening, he's always keeping the individual in mind and giving them the proper dignity that they are deserved just from the intrinsic value of them being made in the image of God. Any thoughts and questions? We just touched on a topic that could probably go somewhere, but the bill of divorcement, merciful towards a woman, shouldn't be given out easily, only should happen for particular things. Why? It's a protection for her. Amen? If Jesus didn't care, by the way, are there cultures today that treat women very, very poorly? Yeah, the Muslim culture, they call women basically their property. They do treat them like dogs, and it's a horrible thing. That is not God-honoring. That's not. It's horrible. It's wicked. And so we want to make sure that we're not degrading women at all. Amen? By the way, in our country, we believe that, and this is being challenged in our day, that all men are created equal. That men is, that word man there is a general term. All the way through, it's always been understood that policeman, it's a general term. Not that earlier on there would have been police women in a sense, but just because the nature of that, men always felt a duty to engage in the more dangerous jobs and war and all those things, just because that's in a sense, men should fulfill those things. But man, the term man is a general term meaning a person, right? And so it's been understood that men and women are created equal. We have different roles, but we are equal. And so, very interesting. And in marriage, if you don't have that mentality, then you're in trouble. You're gonna not treat your spouse correctly. Amen? Anyway, let's finish this out. The Lord's very first post-resurrection appearance was to Mary Magdalene, and really the three women there. And so he appeared first to the women. Amen. I find that very interesting. And then they would go and they would announce his coming. He actually said, hey, go and tell, end up telling Peter and John, and then they would run. But they, if you look and you look at who Jesus surrounded himself, and a lot of the world tries to pervert this, there was a lot of women surrounding Jesus and men, but a lot of women that were greatly used by him in the propagation of the gospel and the work of the ministry. Really, even that was picked up by Paul and even in the first church there in Jerusalem. And women were amazingly used in a great, great way in the kingdom of God for the propagation of the gospel. So we need to understand their value in that. Amen. And so we're out of time, though. Any thoughts, final thoughts, questions on the importance of women? Because a lot of people will, they'll say, you know, Christianity is, you know, it's a man's religion. No, it's really not. Not if you look, yes.
You know, women aren't studied a lot from the Bible, but women throughout the Bible had a great role in a lot
Absolutely.
Of things in the Bible.
They, really
they need
did.
To be studied more.
Yeah.
Really
yeah, I fully agree with that. I think it's neat to study the different ladies in the Bible and glean in those areas. My favorite to study is honestly Lydia in the New Testament. Tremendous, tremendous lady that did a lot for the Lord. And anyway, but I think we need to look at those things and be comfortable with the topic. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for what you've given to us. Thank you for our ladies, Lord, in our church here, in our homes. And Lord, I pray you'd help each of us, Lord, to really esteem each that you place around us, really, whether men, women, children, Lord, we've all been made in your image and all have a role and a task to fulfill and live for your glory. And God, I pray that we would not cast anyone aside, but that God, that we would keep avenues open so that we would not alienate our lives from being able to touch people around us. God, so help us with this, I pray. We love you and thank you. Thank you for this time in your word. And we look forward to the next hour in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.